Mr. Falcon, would you like to reserve some time for rebuttals?
Yes, Your Honor. 3 minutes, please.
3 minutes, certainly. Whenever you'd like to start.
Thank you. May it please the Court, the issue before you today is whether the Workers' Compensation Commission erred in failing to remand this case for an evidentiary hearing for the purpose of allowing an injured worker to present evidence that she had cured a prior refusal of medical treatment. We submit that the Commission's failure to do so constitutes an abuse of discretion, and this matter must be remanded to them for such a hearing.
Was determining whether or not there was a cure, was that a factual finding to be made by the Commission?
It was, Your Honor.
So when they have made a factual finding, what is our role as an appellate court when it comes to deference?
Because the issue of whether or not the claimant had cured is not the issue that brings this matter to the Court of Appeals today. What we are saying is that in remanding this case, the first time the Commission issued a letter in which they advised the parties that a new hearing would be held for the purpose of determining whether or not the claimant had cured. That hearing never took place. The claimant never had an opportunity to present that evidence, and therefore the claimant's due process rights were violated. What the Supreme Court held in the case of James versus Arlington Board of Supervisors is that due process requires that before any individual is deprived of any significant property interest, they be granted an opportunity at a meaningful time in a meaningful manner for a hearing appropriate to the nature of this case. The appellant's contention is that the Commission deprived the claimant of her wage loss benefits without allowing her to present the very evidence that would have allowed those benefits to be reinstated.
What's the significance of the fact that the case had already closed at the time she wanted to submit the evidence?
It's the appellant's contention that the record reopened at the time that the case was remanded to the deputy the first time. So just to put this in context, because the procedural history of this, I'll try to summarize, but it's important to the bearing of this case. Ms. Devon is an injured worker under an open award of disability. The employer, the appellee in this case, files an application seeking to terminate those benefits based on her refusal of medical treatment. She wins at the court level in the December 7th, 2016 hearing, and she's the prevailing party on review to the commission. The commission then reverses that determination, finds that Ms. Devon has in fact refused medical treatment, and remands it back to the deputy for a determination of whether she had cured that refusal. Okay? And what we would contend is that here is where the important language in this opinion really lies, the appendix at page 442. In remanding this to the deputy, in their decision, their second review decision, denying the claimant's rights, the commission writes, the claimant was on notice via the commission's May 25th, 2017 opinion that her refusal had been found unjustified. She took no subsequent actions to cure her refusal. That word subsequent is very important. Because if the record had not reopened, there would be no subsequent actions. The commission would have made its determination based on the record as it stood at the December 2016 hearing, and there would have been no reason for a remand, and there would have been no ability for the claimant to present subsequent actions of cure. What we contend is on remanding that case back to the deputy commissioner, on issuing that letter stating that there would be a new hearing, the record reopened. The claimant filed that medical report, which she intended to rely on in support of her defense of cure, but never had an opportunity to present testimony. And that's our point, is that the commission needs to be enforced to do what they said that they were going to do. They said that there was going to be a new hearing. The new hearing never took place. Now, the commission could have issued a letter saying, we're not taking any new evidence. The commission could have issued a letter saying, any new evidence you want to present, it has to be done by a certain date. They didn't do either of those things. They said there was going to be a hearing, and then before the hearing could happen, the deputy issued a new opinion, and the record closed again. And that's what finds us in front of the Court of Appeals. Now, a couple of cases on a similar issue where the Court of Appeals remanded cases back to the commission for a due process violation. The first one was Sergio's Pizza versus Sanchini in 1986. This is a case where the Court of Appeals held that the commission could not address the issue of changing condition for the first time at the review stage because it deprived the employer of the opportunity to defend. Similarly, in WLR Foods versus Cardoza, this is a 1997 case, the court stated that they were reversing because the commission awarded benefits that had never been claimed, again, without giving the employer the opportunity to defend against that very claim. So what we see in these two cases is the simple proposition that you cannot change the rules in the middle of the game. When the commission says there's going to be a hearing and you're going to have an opportunity to bring witnesses, you're going to have an opportunity to present medical evidence, and then that opportunity is not granted, the only remedy is to remand that case for that hearing that never took place. Now, really the question becomes one of prejudice. This is not a case of no harm, no foul. This is not a case of the right result was reached for the wrong reason.
Is there any evidence in the record before the commission that your client had done anything to cure the circumstances?
There is, Your Honor. In December of 2016, approximately 2 weeks after the evidentiary hearing took place, she attended a functional capacity evaluation. The crux of the employer's application, the reason that we were in court to begin with, was that she had not attended a functional capacity evaluation. That report was filed with the commission, it became part of the commission hearing record, and it was never considered. And because the claimant never had that opportunity to go to that hearing that the commission said was going to take place, she never had an opportunity to present oral testimony that she had attended that functional capacity evaluation.
Well, my colleagues seem to suggest in the arguments that they're making it that she only expressed an intention to cure as opposed to actually cure.
Correct. At the December 2016 hearing, which took place before she attended the functional capacity evaluation, her testimony was that she was ready, willing, and able to attend. 2 weeks later, she did, in fact, attend that functional capacity evaluation, and it's that report that was filed with the commission in May of 2017, and that we contend is part of the hearing record before the commission and before the court. Now, so when we look at this from a prejudicial standpoint, the answer is undoubtedly yes. The claimant was prejudiced by her failure or by the commission's failure to convene that second hearing because it would have allowed the claimant to testify and say, yes, I went to that FCE. Maybe that testimony was sufficient. Maybe the FCE report was sufficient, but she never had an opportunity to present that evidence, and she deserves an opportunity to do so.
How long has the has your client been under the auspices of the commission? Several years?
Yes, her injury was in June of 2014. The application was filed, I believe, in the summer of 2016. So she had been under a disability award for approximately 2 years when the litigation began.
And what date did the employer indicate that it wanted information to show that she was following up on her care and treatment?
So that would have been in the summer of 2016 when they filed the application for hearing.
Okay, and it's your position that she cured this on about December 16th of 2016?
Correct, when she attended the functional capacity evaluation. Yeah.
Am I incorrect in recalling that somewhere in the record there's a letter from you or your office wrote the commission that upon remand the first time the issue for the deputy commissioner to consider was limited to whether or not her testimony at the December 7th hearing established that she had cured her refusal?
Correct, Your Honor. That was in the context of the motion for reconsideration that was filed after that hearing that was supposed to take place did not take place. So at that point, with the closure of the record and the employer filing a motion for reconsideration, the issues were limited to what the employer had raised in reconsideration, which was that the deputy should have considered whether or not the claimant marketed her residual work capacity in order to be able to reinstate her benefits. Now, that's beyond the scope of the issues before the Court of Appeals today, but at the time, that was the impression that the only issues that the commissioner was addressing were whether or not she had cured, and in fact, he found that she had. Now, in addition to that, the appellee also claims that the claimant never offered the FCE report or that it was not part of the hearing record. Now, the commission rules state clearly, Rule 4.2, Rule 2.2, that medical records are self-authenticating. Medical records don't have to be moved into evidence. They are filed with the commission and with opposing counsel, either in conjunction with a hearing or in preparation for the hearing. That's what took place in this case. The medical report was filed. It was not considered by the full commission on review, and that's what we're asking
is
for
a
review.
Is the record had already closed when it was filed?
Well, again, it's our contention that when the commission remanded the case to the deputy initially, that the record reopened at that time. That's the use of the term subsequently. that would have allowed the claimant to present evidence of subsequent actions of cure. And that language appears both in the majority opinion and also in Commissioner Marshall's dissenting opinion, where he indicates that the claimant needs to be given an opportunity to present evidence at a hearing in order to avoid this type of due process.
If we disagree, and I'm not saying we will, but if we were to disagree with the idea that by sending this back to the deputy commissioner that it essentially reinstituted the ability to provide facts and circumstances to justify your position, would that change naturally your ability to make the argument that you're making?
It would not only change my ability to make that argument, but it would create a tremendous issue in the way that the commission conducts administrative hearings. Because take, for example, if we are saying that when the commission remands a case back to a deputy, either to reconvene a hearing or for new evidence or additional evidence, the record is frozen as of the time that the trial court issued its first opinion, but we've got a serious problem on both sides of the issue because claimants go back to work. Injured workers go back to work. They get released to full duty. Those medical records and those changes in condition become part of the hearing record. When you send a case back to the deputy and the deputy says, well, I'm only going to take into consideration the facts as they were a year and a half ago when this case was before me, then you're creating a tremendous administrative problem where you're not allowing either side to admit evidence either of a change in the medical status or a change in the employment.
Isn't it true in commission law in this regard that things are sent back to the deputy commissioner for all kinds of things, and there are limited circumstances or limited involvement that the deputy commissioner would have, i.e. that they're restricted to this precise issue that the commission remands the case to the deputy commissioner?
Correct. For. The commission does have limiting language in some remands where they say we're remanding this solely for the purpose of determining this. In this one, the remand was a little bit more broad. Because the commission said we're going to remand this to determine if the claimant cured, and again, the use of the word subsequent actions indicates that they intended to allow the deputy to take testimony on whether or not the claimant, or to take additional evidence on whether or not the claimant had subsequently acted, in other words, after the hearing, to cure that refusal. So again, you don't have to move to have a medical record admitted. You don't have to file any type of special pleading. You just file the medical record. That's what happens in May of 2017, and the very next month, the deputy issues that decision without addressing the medical records specifically.
But if the language in the remand were to state that determination that we're talking about has to be made as of before you were able to actually do the cure, that would limit the ability of the deputy commissioner to consider any subsequent remedial measures that your client may take.
Correct, if that's what the language had stated, but it did not state that. And again, there are situations in which the commission does specifically say we're only sending it back for a determination of this specific issue or testimony on this specific issue. They didn't do that. So the deputy had both the discretion and, in fact, exercised the discretion when he sent out the notice of referral to the docket saying there's going to be a hearing. These are the issues that are going to be considered. There's a whole list of applications and issues that were going to be considered, that there was going to be testimony, that there was going to be the ability to present witnesses. None of that actually happened. So what it winds up happening
you
is...
You are into your rebuttal time. You're welcome to use it if you'd like to, but I just
wanted
to alert you.
I'll just sum up real quick. What essentially winds up happening in this case is that the claimant is placed in a worse position than she would have been had she lost initially. Had she initially lost, then she would have had the opportunity to file a changing condition application immediately and continue the benefits. As a result of this, the case actually gets sent back. She never has that opportunity to present that additional medical evidence until the record is reopened some 6 months later. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Charles Trowbridge, and I represent the employer, the Fairfax County School Board. Now, the employer respectfully requests that the March 5th, 2018 opinion of the full commission be affirmed. In that opinion, the majority of the full commission found that the claimant's testimony at an evidentiary hearing by itself was not sufficient to establish a good faith verbal cure of a prior unjustified refusal of medical treatment. As Mr. Falcon indicated, that issue is not before us. The issue that is before this court today is whether the commission should have also considered a functional capacity evaluation when evaluating whether or not the claimant had cured. In other words, the question before this court is whether the commission abused its discretion in not considering the functional capacity evaluation. Your Honors, there was no abuse of discretion. This FCE report was not made part of the original hearing record. It was not obtained until after the hearing record had closed, and that hearing record, contrary to Mr. Falcon's arguments, was never reopened.
The remand did not reopen it then?
It did not, Your Honor.
But what was the purpose of the remand then?
The purpose of the remand, and we have to, as was indicated, look at the procedural history of this case. At that time of in June of 2016, the employer filed an application alleging that the claimant had refused medical treatment by failing to undergo an FCE. It was the third one she had failed to undergo. A hearing on that application was set for December of 2016, some 6 months later. Now, at the hearing, the claimant raised two defenses to the employer's application. One defense was, the claimant did not refuse medical treatment. The second defense was, if she did refuse medical treatment, she has cured that refusal of medical treatment as of December 7th, 2016. Now, the deputy commissioner, when he issued his first opinion, he ruled that the claimant, in fact, did not refuse medical treatment. Therefore, he did not reach the claimant's second defense at the evidentiary hearing that she had cured her refusal as of December 7th, 2016. And so I know Mr. Falcon focused on that word subsequently, and it's used in the full commission's original opinion. In their award section, they state that the claimant's refusal to undergo the May 13th, 2016 FCE constituted a refusal of medical treatment. Her benefits are terminated effective June 14th, 2016. The matter is remanded to the deputy commissioner in order to determine if the claimant has subsequently cured her refusal. That word subsequently pertains to the date that her benefits were terminated. That six-month period from the date the benefits were terminated, the date of the evidentiary hearing, where she had alleged that she had cured her refusal some point in there.
So your view is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the case turns on what the term subsequently means. Subsequently can either run from one date to a date that's favorable to you, or subsequently can run from one date to a date that's more favorable to your opponent colleague.
That is, it is an open interpretation of that word, but there is other statements in the full commission's opinion that show that this word subsequently goes back to the June 14th when the application was filed and only runs through the date of the hearing. How do you know that?
Well, help me out a little
sure.
bit.
Yes, Your Honor.
I always try to figure out why things happen. And the reason, and I'm trying to figure out if the commission was aware of the facts and circumstances that existed when it was making its disposition, why would there be any need to refer to the deputy commissioner?
Because the deputy commissioner only reached one of the two defenses. If the deputy commissioner had found at the original evidentiary hearing that, yes, you refused medical treatment when you didn't attend the FCE, but yes, you did cure your refusal as of the date of the hearing when you testified that you were ready, willing, and able to undergo it, then there would have been no need to send it back to the deputy commissioner because he would have already ruled on the cure defense. They sent it back to him, to the Deputy Commissioner Kennard, because he had not addressed the cure defense whatsoever.
Well, let me ask you this. Would it have been in the province of the commission to make the determination as to whether the cure had indeed occurred?
The full commission or the deputy commissioner?
The full commission.
On the first remand, no. On the first remand, the issue before the full commission was whether or not the claimant had refused medical treatment. The full commission found that she had, realized that the deputy commissioner did not address the claimant's defense at the original evidentiary hearing that she had also cured her refusal as of December 7, 2016. So it sent it back to the deputy commissioner to look at the evidence that had been admitted at the hearing to determine if she had cured her refusal. Now, the only evidence that was admitted at that hearing was the claimant's testimony that she was ready, willing, and able to attend the FCE, and the full commission has found that is not sufficient to prove a good faith verbal cure. Now, what else supports that interpretation from the full commission's opinion? If you look at the conclusory paragraph of the full commission's opinion, it specifically highlights the claimant's testimony and then sends it back to the deputy commissioner to say, we're sending this to you to see if these actions, if this testimony is sufficient to establish a good faith cure of her unjustified refusal of medical treatment. And in that opinion, sending it back to the deputy commissioner, there was no instruction to the deputy commissioner to reopen the hearing record. There was no instruction to the deputy commissioner to take additional evidence on the cure. There was no instruction to the deputy commissioner to take additional argument. Therefore, the deputy commissioner did what any reasonable jurist would do. He issued opinion addressing the claimant's alleged cure based on the evidence that had been introduced at the hearing. And that is the standard that's before us, Your Honors, is whether the commission abused its discretion in its decision. An abuse of discretion, the only way for this court to reverse the commission is that it must find that no reasonable jurist would have failed to consider the FCE report when evaluating whether the claimant had cured her unjustified refusal. Now, aside from the full commission's opinion, there's other evidence, there's other things that we must look to, specifically the actions of the claimant after the December 7th, 2016 evidentiary hearing to show that the FCE report, that the commission did not abuse its discretion in not considering the FCE report. Now, despite many opportunities to do so, the claimant never requested that the commission consider the FCE report until this litigation had nearly run its course. The claimant attended this FCE on December 15th, 2016. It was a few days after the hearing record had closed. The claimant did not attempt to have the FCE report considered by the deputy commissioner at that time. When she underwent the FCE, the deputy commissioner had not issued his original opinion. They did not seek to have it included in the hearing record or open the hearing record and have the deputy commissioner consider it at that time. The claimant filed the FCE report in May of 2017. Again, no cover letter, no motion, no request that the commission consider this report in conjunction with its decision of whether or not the claimant had cured her unjustified refusal. In fact, and as Judge Attlee, as you noted, after this FCE report was filed by the claimant in May of 2017, Mr. Falcon, in June of 2017, files a letter with the commission and specifically outlines that the scope of what the deputy commissioner was to consider on remand was whether the claimant's agreement to attend the FCE at the December 7, 2016 hearing constitutes a cure of her prior refusal. There was no mention of the FCE report. There was no mention that the deputy commissioner should, in addition, consider this attendance at an FCE. Multiple review briefs have been filed. At no point did the claimant argue that the FCE report should be considered in her review briefs. At no point did she even mention that this FCE report existed in her review briefs. Therefore, based on these actions, it was entirely reasonable for the deputy commissioner and the full commission to evaluate whether the claimant had cured her unjustified refusal based strictly on the evidence that had been introduced at the December 7th, 2016 evidentiary hearing. Now, this result does not deprive the claimant of any of her due process rights. The claimant had a full and fair opportunity to present evidence of her alleged cure. That opportunity presented itself at the December 2016 hearing. As I mentioned, one of the defenses that she raised was that she had cured her unjustified refusal. She had to present evidence to support this defense, and she, in fact, presented evidence to support this defense. Now, as I outlined in my brief, there's a number of other things the claimant could have done to support a cure of an unjustified refusal, but none of those were done. Despite having roughly 6 months between when her benefits were suspended and when the employer filed its employer's application and when the hearing was held, the only evidence that the claimant was able to introduce to support her alleged cure was her testimony. Now, simply because the claimant now wants the commission to consider additional evidence on the same issue for which he has already had an opportunity to present evidence does not mean that he has been deprived of any due process rights. In fact, the Act provides other means by which the claimant could have protected her rights, protected her indemnity benefits. There's nothing that prevents her from filing additional protective changing condition applications. After she underwent the FCE, she could have filed that report with a changing condition application saying, in the event my failure to attend the FCE is considered an unjustified refusal, I'm filing this as a protective claim for benefits. This happens all the time before the commission. The commission will put that claim aside because it's not ripe for adjudication, but then it will subsequently, once the matter is ready to be heard, it will bring that matter before the commission again. That never happened. It did not happen after she attended the FCE in December 2016. It did not happen after she filed the report in May of 2017. It's not until some 17 months later, when it was even brought to the commission's attention, that she wanted this FCE report considered by the full commission. Now, where it stands now is that the full commission has determined that the claimant unjustifiably refused medical treatment, and she has not cured this refusal. As a result, the full commission has terminated the claimant's benefits. In order to have benefits reinstated after an unjustified refusal, a claimant must file a changing condition application. That's what the Act provides. Once filed, commission precedent requires that a claimant prove a cure of her unjustified refusal, as well as continuing disability or the marketing of residual work capacity. The remedy sought by the claimant, a hearing strictly on the cure, removes her of an obligation to prove continuing disability or marketing. Now, this is a significant hurdle. The evidence shows that the claimant has been assigned light duty work restrictions since 2016. As such, in order to have her benefits reinstated, she has to prove that she cured her unjustified refusal, and she has to prove that she's been marketing her residual work capacity since 2016. It's manifestly unjust to the employer, and it deprives the employer of its due process rights by removing that burden on the claimant. Now, setting aside the claimant's obligation to market her residual work capacity, the FCE report that we've been talking about, it's not even sufficient to establish a cure of her unjustified refusal. The physician who recommended the FCE reviewed the FCE report, and she reviewed evidence that had been introduced at the hearing in the form of surveillance video. She noted a stark contrast between the claimant's presentation at the FCE and the claimant's presentation in the surveillance video, and found the FCE report was not an accurate depiction of the claimant's work capacity. In other words, the claimant is arguing that she has cured her unjustified refusal of medical treatment, her failure to cooperate with medical treatment, by attending an FCE where she failed to cooperate. Again, it's manifestly unjust to send this back to the commission for a hearing strictly on whether or not the claimant had cured her unjustified refusal.
That should be more complicated than that. Send it back to the commissioner so he can send it back to the deputy commissioner to make that determination.
Yes, Your Honor. That's where it would eventually go. Now, in conclusion, the employer respectfully requests that the March 5th, 2018 opinion of the full commission be affirmed. The commission did not abuse its discretion in failing to consider the FCE report. It was not presented at the evidentiary hearing. It was obtained after the hearing record had closed, and that record has not been reopened. The claimant was not deprived of any due process rights. She had a full and fair opportunity to present evidence regarding an alleged cure. This happened at the original evidentiary hearing. She also had an opportunity after that hearing to protect her ongoing benefits, which she failed to take advantage of by not filing any additional claims. And in fact, the remedy sought by the claimant deprived the employer of its due process rights. In the event that this court sent the matter back to the commission, we would ask that it also include the treating physician's questionnaire response as well as evidence for the commission to consider. Thank you, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Falcon, you've got about a minute and a half.
Thank you. Just a couple of quick points on rebuttal. I want to start with Mr. Trowbridge's contention that the shifting of the burden of proof to the employer to prove whether or not or disprove the claimant's cure is a violation of due process rights. But in fact, that's where we began. We began at an evidentiary hearing where the employer, the appellee, bore the burden of proof. We're not asking for it to be shifted. We're asking it to be right back where it was to begin with. With regard to abuse of discretion, there's definitely an abuse of discretion here. You have an uncontradicted medical report that is filed prior to the reconvening of a second hearing. You have ample opportunity for the employer to dispute that that medical record should be in the hearing record at all, and no dispute and no contrary medical evidence is filed. Again, the appellant is trying to argue that both that the record closed and also trying to fault the claimant for not submitting medical evidence after the record closed. They can't have
it both
ways.
Why wait months before it's submitted to begin with?
What's that?
Why wait months before it's submitted to begin with?
Because after the initial hearing in December 2016, the record did close, and no further medical evidence was permitted to be considered. In the context of a review where the claimant is the prevailing party, there is no method by which to submit evidence from after the hearing before the commission on review. It's not appropriate. Once the commission remands that case back to the deputy, then the record reopens, and that's when the medical record gets filed. So the solution here is very simple. Remand the case back to the commission. That will give both sides an opportunity to present testimony and to consider the medical report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will come down and greet counsel.